From the Gospel according to John, chapter 3, verses 14 to 21, we read these words. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. This is perhaps one of the most beautiful and one of the most dangerous passages in the Bible. Because all too often, this passage is used to judge and to condemn people. I think the most important thing is for us to remember that it is God and God alone that reserves judgment. The rest of us, that's not what we're called to do. We're just called to talk about God's love, God's salvation, God's amazing grace, and our gift of hope. Every one of us owns that precious gift of hope. Every one of us owns that precious gift of mercy and the precious gift of second chances and third chances and fourth chances. I think, though, one of the problems that we experience nowadays, and maybe we always did as human beings, is that with one side of our mouth we talk about forgiveness and grace, and on the other side we condemn people even after they change their lives. I'm reminded of a good friend of mine, Carl Fields, who is the program director for the Hospitality Center. And Carl spent a lot of time in jail. I don't know what he did. I don't need to know what he did. What I know is that since coming out of jail, he has done some of the most amazing work. He actually worked for the host shelter last year. He was one of our on-site managers, was one of the kindest. He's that guy that knows how to be firm, but loving at the same time. And it's a rare person that's got that balance, that can enforce rules, but do it in a way that people aren't resentful and angry about it. That takes a very delicate touch. And this is a guy that's got that touch. Since coming out of jail, one of the things that he's done is start a program for people that are emerging from jail. I don't know the name of it. I'm embarrassed. I pull in a brain cramp. But he works as a mentor with folks that are coming out of the prison system to help them not slide back in to the prison system. He works with people that are homeless. He interfaces very carefully with almost all of the different organizations in town that deal with homelessness and with hunger. And on top of it, he's one of the nicest guys I've ever known. Now, when I got to meet Carl, I didn't know he'd done time in jail. I had no idea. None at all. And so as I got to know him and his personality unfolded, I thought, what a wonderful and gracious and loving man. So full of God's love. So grateful for everything he has. When I found out he'd done time in prison, it didn't really bother me. And yet, if I'm forced to be honest with myself, if the first thing that I had known about him was that he was an ex-convict, it probably would have changed the way I looked at him. And I have to be honest about it, because if I'm not honest with myself, I certainly can't stand up here. But I got to thinking about that, and I thought, why? I mean, here's this guy that's doing so many wonderful things. But I would have looked down on him. I would have worried about, I would have wondered if I could trust him. How many people are there out there that have never done jail time, and yet who we shouldn't trust? Probably a lot, because the most successful criminal is the one that doesn't get caught, right? I use Carl as an example because he's a guy that had a second chance, who took it and jumped on it, and is helping other people make something of their second chances, and make something of their third chances. You see, God gives each one of us a chance. And just like the legal system, we all stand condemned. Every single one of us stands condemned of something, judged and juried and found guilty of a variety of different sins. Now, we may be the most upstanding citizens that you ever want to see. I mean, maybe there are some of us that have never even been speeding. Okay, that wouldn't be me. I'm lead foot on the accelerator all the way. Don't tell anybody. But we've all done something, right? We've all doubted. We've all let somebody down. We've all lied. We've all just been mean or cruel or petty or snapped on somebody, broken a little kid's heart unintentionally. And every day God forgives us for that and gives us that second chance. And Jesus is here to be that guy that says, hey, come here, I'm going to show you how to take advantage of your second chance and your third chance and your fourth chance. Sometimes all in the same day. Because how many times does God forgive us? 70 times 7, which was Jesus' way of saying always, right? But John 3:16 is this verse that people love to throw around and say, if you don't believe, you're going to hell. It's held up at the football games, right? and John 316 isn't really John Madden's weight. For those of us that are old enough to remember John Madden. But we see it everywhere, and sometimes, and we teach the little ones to recite it, right? How many of you, that was the first Bible verse you learned, could say it in our sleep? But do we grasp it? And one of the dangerous things is that we listen to this word that says, God so loved the world that he gave his only son so everyone who believes in him may not perish but may have eternal life. The next line is, God did not send the son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. In order that the world might be saved through him. And those that don't believe are condemned only by themselves because they haven't accepted that gift of grace and mercy. It doesn't mean that they're scoundrels or that they're hateful people. It just means that right now, in many cases, we've all condemned ourselves to a life of misery because we haven't accepted the gift that Jesus has given us so freely. We walk around with these burdens weighing us down instead of laying those burdens at God's feet. And until we're able to communicate to the people that we encounter every day why we hold that hope in Christ Jesus, some folks will be weighed down by that fear and anger and longing and jealousy and greed because they don't have the hope of something better. If I don't have the hope of that beautiful heaven, and I think this is it, then maybe I am going to be jealous of that $350,000 house over there that I will never be able to afford to buy. But if I lay up treasure in my heart and in my spirit, then that will help me enjoy the gifts that God has given me. Whether I live in a shelter, whether I live in a house with no laundry room and no family room, or whether I live in a multi-million dollar mansion. You see, it's not where we live, but how we live and who we live for. Because if we only live for ourselves, what kind of a life is that? And if we only live for the people that look like us and believe like us, well, then our fellowship and friendship are going to be pretty narrow, right? God calls each and every one of us to second and third and fourth and 77th and 199th, 365th chances. We all stand condemned. But what a joy that we also stand forgiven. We all stand sentenced, but by the grace of Jesus the Christ, our sentence has been wiped clean. Our pardon has been freely given, and we are free. And in our freedom, we're called to do the same thing and to give that gift to everyone. So God does love the world enough to give his only begotten son so that each and every one of us that accepts this precious gift of life may be free through Christ the Lord. Amen.